All right, good morning, everybody. I picked these two songs because, one, we ought to be like Jesus Christ, but number two, we need to remember where we came from and what he did for us, or to us, so to say. But the first song, "Oh, to be like thee," I think this is why Jesus accepted you become as one of these little ones, kids, 7 and 8 year olds, they believe almost everything you say, and if you tell them that they need a savior and the savior's Jesus Christ, they are quick to accept that as a truth. So we got to be careful with that. But this one evangelist told a story about another evangelist who was constantly on the road, and he was praying about whether or not he should leave his family again and go to a meeting. And he prayed, and he really didn't get any whether he should go or not, so he just made the decision to go. And on the side, he was also a pilot, and he kept aircraft fuel in cans in his garage. And while he was gone, his little boy that was, I think, was about 6 or 7 years old, had been playing with another boy, and they were playing in the garage, and they were playing with that airplane fuel, which, if anybody knows anything about airplane fuel, it's a higher octane, it's more volatile than what we use in our cars, just like a turboprop or something like that. But what happened was is some of that gas got splashed on him and he didn't know it. And the other little boy flicked a match and threw it at him, and it caught him on fire. And it was so bad that, when they got him to the hospital, the doctors, basically told the parents that you need to go talk to him for the last time. And the dad had to come back from the meeting for this, so he wasn't there right at his side the whole time. But when he got into the hospital room, he couldn't, it was such a terrible sight because it was such bad burns that there was just nothing left on parts of the boy's body. And when he got in there, all he could do was get on his knees and ask for forgiveness from God and from the child. And the little boy, and you can learn from this little boy, the little boy started singing, "Oh, to be like thee." Instead of crying about his pain or something like that, he knew he was going to heaven and he wanted to be like Jesus Christ. He knew he was going to be like Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of faith we need to have. Amen? We need to know these things. We need to get it, settled in our hearts that we're going to be like Jesus Christ one day. And that no matter what happens down here, oh, happy day. And love found a way. Amen? I think that was Brother Garcia's favorite song was "Love Found a Way." Because we sang it an awful lot when he was teaching Sunday school. And "Oh Happy Day," he liked that one too. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray before we get into this here. Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for this book. Just pray now, Lord, that I'll be able to pass this message out clearly in plain English, easy to understand. And I just pray, Lord, that hearts are receptive and that minds are open to the truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, last week we're in the dispensations. We're talking about dispensations. We're talking about rightly dividing. Okay? Last week we left off with the dispensation under conscience. Innocence, then conscience. Okay? Now we're going to talk about another dispensation. Look in Genesis 8. This next dispensation, we can call it the dispensation of human government. Okay? Conscience ended with the flood. Okay? this dispensation, just some the quick little things here about the dispensation, about when it begins, the test for man, man's responsibility. This dispensation begins in Genesis 8:20. Okay, and it ends in Genesis 12 with Abraham. That's when it ends. There's a new covenant at that point. Okay, or a new dispensation at that point. Now, during this dispensation, the test for man is found in what is called the Noahic covenant, the covenant that God made with Noah when he got off the ark. Okay, that's where this dispensation is found, within the covenant. Remember I said that all dispensations fall within the scope of the covenants. Okay? Am I saying that backwards? Is it the other way around? The covenants fall within a dispensation? Nah, I don't know. You know what I mean, right? I'm sure you can figure that out. Okay, so the Noahic covenant goes from Genesis 8:20 to Genesis 9:20. That's the whole thing there, okay? Now, man's responsibility in this dispensation, remember it's human government. Man's responsibility in this dispensation, number one, you find that right when he gets off the ark, is sacrifices on an altar, and you'll find that in Genesis 8:20, and capital punishment, the death sentence. Okay, God, I don't know, we're going to get into that a little bit later, I don't know if God is saying, you need to kill these people if they kill people, and you need to kill this man if his ox kills a man, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if that's what he's saying, but if you read the text, God is saying, I will require. So I don't know if he's going to be the one doing the killing if somebody murders somebody or something like that. So it's, I'm not dogmatic in any way there. But more than likely, I'm going to think it's God that's going to be doing the striking people down for disobeying that. Okay? So that's Genesis 9, verse 5. That's where you'll find that. Okay? And then the rest of this dispensation is pretty much the same as under conscience. Okay? Pretty much the same as under conscience. There's no law. There's just a couple requirements. Okay? Now, so let's take a look at this dispensation, all right? Let's look at Genesis 8:20. It says, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Okay, so there's some differences here from prior to the flood. Okay? There's some differences here from prior to the flood. Look at verse 1 of chapter 9. "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth." There's replenish again, okay? "And the fear," and it means replenish, okay? "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes in the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things." Okay, so there's some differences here. Number one, we're going to see that Noah was blessed. Okay, now he's the first person we see get blessed by God since Adam. He's the first one. So however many millions of people were on the earth after Adam, God doesn't make any mention of blessing any of them until Noah, okay? So Noah was blessed, okay? So that's what he tells him, and God blessed Noah, okay? Number two, the fear of man is instilled in animals, and man is allowed to eat them, okay? Now, this is going to put to rest any arguments about whether or not man ate meat prior to Noah's flood. And I can answer that question for you. Yeah, they probably did. But it was against God's wishes. Okay? It was against God. Okay, you're remembering we had strange flesh prior to the flood. Okay, and that strange flesh could very well have been running around murdering animals and eating them. Okay? So absolutely they could have been eating meat. But were they supposed to? No. Right here's when God told them they could eat the animals. Okay, because prior to the flood, the animals didn't fear man. They'd come right up to you, eat right out of your hand. Okay, we still see that sometimes today where animals will get tame and do that. Wild animals will get tame and do that. But there's always that little thing in there where they have a fear of you and a dread of you. And their animals are opportunists. Okay, they're opportunists. And they'll look for that out, you know, anytime they can get it, when they think it's safe for them to do it. Okay, so that was one of the differences. Another thing about this dispensation is that the death penalty is in effect. Look at chapter 9 and verse 5. Okay, he says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Okay, so what we've got here now is that the death penalty is being instituted. And like I said, I'm not sure if man is supposed to enforce this or if this is God saying, hey, you do this and I'll require your blood. Okay, there's a good reference on that. Exodus 21:28 is going to be about this. At the hand of every beast will I require it. I mean, why would he care if an animal is killing somebody, right? So look at Exodus 21:28. Exodus 21:28. "If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned." We still do that today. If an animal kills a person, we immediately hunt it down and put it to death. Okay? That's starting to change now with the animal lovers. Okay? But it's still a requirement. Okay? That animal needs to be put to death. Okay? They have a problem with polar bears. They say that a polar bear is the only animal known that will actually hunt and track a man before injuring him. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I know one thing is once they do bite somebody and draw blood, they will hunt a man down. And they'll continue to hunt men down. There's something about the blood, something about that, okay? So this is saying that the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death. Could you imagine if that happened today? Right? I mean, we got it nice. I'm telling you, we have it really nice. I mean, I couldn't imagine if my dog got out and mauled somebody and then them coming over and strapping me down and killing me, the cops. I mean, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? You know, but, you know, there's something to that. You know, you need to take care of your stuff. You need to be responsible for what you have. You know, don't be reckless with things, okay? Because you're ultimately, you're going to be judged for that, okay? So that's that on the death penalty. Okay? Now, what we're coming to next, if you'll turn, this will start in verse 9 of chapter 9. Okay, wait a minute. Did I want to talk about something there? Oh, yes, verse 4. We're back to eating meat here. Verse 4. "But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." Okay? Now, there's a tradition with deer hunters that you hang a deer after you kill it. And a lot of deer hunters don't know why you do that. Some think it's to season the meat a little bit, to age the meat a little bit. But the biggest reason, and what you'll do is you'll hang that deer. You can do it by the front legs or the back legs or by the antlers or by the neck, whatever. But what you do is you'll cut the legs at the bottom so that the blood can drain out of there. Okay? That's what they'll do. And hunters don't even realize it, that they're being biblical when they do that. Okay? But they are. They're being biblical when they do that. And that's what they'll do at the slaughterhouses too. They let them bleed out before they take process that meat. Okay, so that's one thing about the meat. We don't want to be eating any blood. We want to make sure it's just meat. Okay, so I also want to point out too, all right, that God blessed Noah and then said he could eat meat. So steaks are a blessing from God. Amen. Right? Steaks are a blessing from God. I had one last night. Okay, so what happens now? We're gonna move on to the Noahic covenant. This is gonna start in verse 9 of chapter 9. And it's gonna run all the way to verse 19. Okay, and this is a pretty neat agreement God makes here with Noah. Look at verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she turned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet... I'm sorry, I'm in verse 8. I was doing this last night too. I was going back and forth and I forgot what chapter it was. Verse 9. And God, or verse 8, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of my covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Perpetual generations. That means forever. As long as the generations are reproducing, this covenant will last. Okay? I want to point out that the ground is no longer under a curse. Okay? The ground is no longer under a curse. What you're seeing now is the result of it being cursed. And it's beautiful, isn't it? You're looking at the result of a something that had been cursed in the past and is healing a little. Okay? This is the result of destruction. And could you imagine what it's going to be like in the millennium when God restores it back to its original state? It's going to be something else. We can't even imagine. I mean, imagine giant redwoods everywhere. Do you imagine that? How big? Have you seen how big those things are? Some of them are 15 or 20 foot in diameter. They got tunnels made through them. Cars driving right through them, you know. All right, so the Noahic covenant. Okay, the ground is no longer cursed. That's in chapter 8, verse 21. We talked about that after Noah was blessed, or right before Noah was blessed. Okay. Number two, the earth now has seasons. Okay, we read that in chapter 8. It now has seasons. It gets hot, it gets cold, it rains. You know what I'm saying? There was a polar shift. Okay? All the scientists are saying we're headed for a polar shift. We're headed for a polar shift. No, it already happened. Right? The polar shift already happened. And then they say we started with the Big Bang. No, that hasn't happened yet. Right? They're just all over the place. And they say that we are hypocrites. You know, you can't find any science. You can't find any two scientists that'll agree. They're all over the place. Okay, and then number three, if you look at verse 13 of chapter 9, we've got the bow, the rainbow. I want to point out that with the rainbow, if you read about it, okay, God says that He put it in the cloud. Now, how can you see it if it's in the cloud? Okay? But look, God's not concerned with you seeing the rainbow. If you read down through there, it's to remind Him of His covenant that He made with Noah. You see what I'm saying? So when God is up at the tippy top of the universe there, this universe, okay? We're here. God's up here. Okay, when he looks down at earth, okay, he's got to look through water, okay, and then he can see the clouds above the earth. He always sees a rainbow. Always. God always sees a rainbow when he looks down at earth, except his rainbow is a complete 360-degree circle. And he sees that all the time, like a halo over the earth. Okay, from his perspective, if you personify him, okay, from his perspective, okay. So the rainbow is for God. See, we always think it's for, we always want to say, "Oh, it's for us! It's for us! It's for us!" You know, I preached a sermon up at my mom and dad's church on Easter Sunday called "What Was It For?" You know, and it was about how Jesus Christ died on the cross first for God. To obey his father. He's about his father's business, right? That's what he said. I'm about my father's business. He didn't say, I'm here for you. I'm not about your, but he didn't say, I'm about your business, right? He said, I'm about my father's business. So it's not always about us. That's the phrase, right? It ain't always about you, you know? That's the phrase. We need to remember that. So the rainbow is for God. It's a reminder for God that of the covenant, okay? It's a reminder for God. Now, what does Noah do with this covenant? Okay? Noah was a very smart man. God knows how to pick leaders. He was over 600 years old when he got picked. Okay? So we got to understand something here. Noah had a lot of experience. Okay? What did Noah know? Okay? Noah knew about all kinds of things. So what did he do with this covenant? As soon as he got the covenant, what did he do with it? Well, he planted a vineyard and became a husbandman, right? And then what did he do? He got drunk. I don't know if he was celebrating or if he thought, oh, man, God's got this new covenant. Man, I can sit back and relax now, you know, take a load off. Sunday's over. I can go home and lay around in my jammies, you know. I don't know. Skip afternoon church. I don't know. He got, something happened. He got this great promise, and what does he do? He goes out and he gets drunk. And you know what happens whenever you drink? Something bad happens. And I don't care if you're an alcoholic or if you're a social drinker or if you take a sip here and there. They don't call it spirits for nothing. Okay? And this lackadaisical attitude with Christians nowadays saying, oh, well, I can have a glass of wine or I can have a drink here or drink there or I'll sit down and talk to you about Jesus over a beer. I got no problems doing that. Yeah. You know, that's this attitude now. God calls that slack. Yeah. Right? See, I used to think slack was like slow. No, slack is unsatisfactory. You see what I'm saying? He was. That's what God calls slack. And we're slack in that area. A lot of Christians are slack in that area. Okay? So don't be fooled by drinks. All right? Don't be fooled by drinks. They make them all kind of pretty colors and stuff like that for a reason. You know, the devil doesn't offer you AA. The devil doesn't offer you involuntary manslaughter. Okay? He doesn't offer you those things. You know what he offers you? Another drink. Right? Dollar drafts. That's what he offers you. You know, why do you think all the pictures are like people like, you ever seen anybody drink like that? I've never seen anybody drink like that. Usually it's like, oh, this is great. You know, so be careful with drinking, okay? So this is what Noah did. He gets the great news, and what does he do? He plants a vineyard and then gets drunk off his own wine, okay? Now, let's look at what happened. Okay? Let's look at what happened. What happened when Noah got drunk? Okay? And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted, this would be verse 20 of chapter 9. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, God puts that, the father of Canaan, in there for a reason, okay? The father of Canaan saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Okay? So we know something happened, and if you read on down, God gets involved, or God ends up getting involved, and he said, this is Noah speaking, and he said, cursed be Canaan. Yeah, this is Noah. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Okay, so something took place, okay, between Noah and Ham. I'll give you some theories, but we're not going to get into them today. We'll get into them next Sunday. It's something that has to be dealt with because it's here in the Bible. Okay, I'm not dogmatic on any of these ways. Either God hasn't given me all the light. I mean, I know what my opinion is, okay? But I know what the text also says, okay? But anyway, you've got a couple of different theories that happened here, okay? Number one, Ham saw Noah naked, okay? You get that from the text. Ham saw Noah naked. That's one of the ways, okay? The other way that you get straight from the text, without running any references, Ham saw his mother naked. Okay, and the reason we can say that is because if you run the reference, thy father's nakedness, it's a direct reference to the wife. Okay, that's another way. You get that directly from the text. Okay, number three, the other thing that could have happened is that Ham fornicated with his mother. Okay, that's the other thing that you can get from that, because if you look, Noah says, what his younger son had done unto him. Okay? So, you know, looking at somebody is not doing something to somebody, you know? And I'm sure in those days, men were men, and it was like probably like any other locker room, you know, when you lived in tents and stuff, you know what I mean? It's probably just like that. The men probably saw each other naked all the time, okay, changing clothes and stuff like that. It would have been the woman that would have been guarded, you know, from that kind of stuff. So it could be that Ham fornicated with his mother, or it could be that Ham committed sodomy with Noah. Okay, and I've got quite a few references on that one. So we'll go ahead and stop there for today, because that's like, you know, another whole Sunday for that. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this book. Pray, Lord, now that you will help us to receive your word in humility, and that your spirit would have free course, and that the deaf and dumb spirit would be bound. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.